Hey folks, you found us. This is Caching in the Northwest. You know, this is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're trying to solve a puzzle cache with the letters from your breakfast cereal, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right, and that means it's time to bring in our podcasting partner and primate. Some say he has built a birdhouse that was auctioned off for $1.8 million. And others say Santa is considering changing the nice list to the land monkey list. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hola. Hello, everybody. Nice to be back here. Good to see my good friends, Wits End and Chris of the Northwest. My goodness, it feels like I just saw you guys not so long ago.
Not too very long ago.
I have no idea why.
Anyways, hey, we want to just throw out a quick reminder that we appreciate the support of our patrons who help. They also kelp, but primarily they help to keep this podcast coming each week. And if you want to know more about supporting the show, remember to click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website.
Clickety clickety. Clickety. Now, for tonight's show,
yes,
we're going to talk about, well, we're talking about us.
Okay.
And what we did last weekend. How about that?
I know what you did last weekend.
I know what you did last weekend, and I know what Land Monkey did last weekend because, well, we all got together, like, in person and did, actual eyeball contact kind of thing. Well, not eyeball contact. That would hurt, but eye contact at the very least. We attended PodCon number one and did a little geocaching. Weird. Took Land Monkey around Seattle. Had a good time.
Before we do that, we've got to do the glow. So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because great logs simply make geocaching better. Send in your geocaching log of the week by email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You can call into 253-693-TFTC or use that handy dandy voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow.
And this week's glow is from JT Coffee. It's from cache GCNPB1. That could be National Park Boundary 1, or it could be No Peanut Butter 1. I don't know, but GCNPB1, Elephant Rock. And let's see. The log reads, "This cache, sigh. This adventure represents a reminder of a lesson I always seem to need to learn the hard way, over and over again. Never make assumptions about what you'll find. It's not the first time I've increased a star rating of a cache based on my own transgressions. I added this cache to my list today, not because of the difficulty terrain rating, though I always like a high terrain cache, but because of its loneliness and how it hadn't been found in a year. The drive along the road to this cache was gorgeous. Fall is at its peak this weekend. The weather was perfect. I arrived and parked in the published parking coordinates and saw the rock face. As I read the description, I looked at the rock and I saw a ledge at the top. Without a shadow of a doubt, I thought that's where the cache was. Where else would a ledge be than the top? I started ascending right by the parking area thinking, oh, I can outsmart this climb. I won't have to climb up the whole thing. I'll just skirt the hillside and land down right at the top. So I started scrambling. There's a barbed wire fence partway up, which I found a spot to slip through. In hindsight, this should have been my first indication that I was going the wrong way. Future finders note, if you're negotiating with barbed wire, you're going the wrong way. Took me about 15 minutes to get to the top, and once I got there, I checked my nav, 40 feet away. Close. I moved over a bit. 60 feet? I looked around and saw a ledge just above me. I climbed up, and now I was 70 feet? I looked around and saw a little gleam of the cache below. I laughed out loud. It was quite a ways down. Now, to get there. I slid down on all fours more often than not. I looped around, navigated the fence again, and came up to the cache. It was fun to see the larger container and the original log and get another cache to help me with the challenge I'm working on. Thanks for keeping this one going and for teaching me the lesson again that I still need to take to heart. A favorite from me for the adventure.
Very nice. That was fantastic. And folks, a reminder that if there's a milestone cache find that you are celebrating, why not call it in? 253-693-TFTC. Share it with the entire Northwest community. We all want to hear in your very own voice your milestone find, and whether it's a lesson milestone that you're learning to stop assuming that caches are at the top of the hill, or whether it's some unique number cache find that is very cool to you, we encourage you to use your own voice, use the voicemail tool, call it in, send us your glow.
Especially if it involves barbed wire.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And you know,
what did she say earlier, though? If you're involved with barbed wire, you're doing it wrong.
You're going the wrong way.
You're going the wrong way.
Yes. So. But you can still call in and tell us all about going the wrong way.
We love those.
Yeah. Because we like to hear about those because we've never done that.
No. No, I've never nearly been impaled on a log unnecessarily.
Says the man who turns geocaching into a full contact sport.
Whether it needs to be or not.
That's right. And live listeners, you can also use all those contact methods that we mentioned, but you can also share your geocaching updates, stories, and adventures in the chat associated with the live feed there. And if you'd like us to chat about them later, hashtag them with FTAS for the after show.
There you go. Right on. So we look forward to hearing from you guys, and we'll definitely add any of the feedback you have into the after show tonight. But you know what? We have some important news. We're not going to do much news at all on this episode, but there is one piece of news we really want to make sure we get through to you guys because it's really important. You may have been or have considered being a supporter of our podcast via Patreon. We thank those who are. We thank those who are considering it. There was a very unpopular decision made last week by Patreon to introduce fees on top of your giving. Well, that decision has been reversed. There will be no fees to those who give to support the podcast. What you pledge is what you give. So thank you for your support, those who are supporting us. Thank you to those who are considering it. And it means a lot to us. So good news. I think that's good news.
You know,
I think so.
I really agree with it, that, you know, if you're pledging $5 or $10 a month, that's how much you should be giving. You determine the value of the podcast to you. You know,
exactly.
If you're willing to give, we are more than thankful. So thank you. I seem to use that word a lot. But thankfulness is one of the things that I'm always mindful of.
Yeah.
Now, we had mentioned that we got together this weekend and we went to PodCon. That's a podcasting convention. I know you figured it out already, but I'm still spelling it out.
Not a convention for pod people?
Or, you know, pod people who want to rip you off. It's the PodCon.
I thought at first it was for very angry people. It was PO'd con.
Oh, PO'd con.
But no, that wasn't it at all.
I think the PodCon was Patreon, but it's been fixed.
Well, yeah, you know, it was funny because Patreon made that announcement just days before PodCon started. I mean, it had already been scheduled. Everything was going on. And there was a lot of talk about what Patreon did in PodCon. And right after that, they backed down.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. So PodCon is a convention for and about podcasts. Not necessarily. Well, I mean, it was very different than anything I had seen before. You know, you go to conventions and they're really quite focused. Well, this kind of had a dual track, if you will say, if you can say. There were some that were definitely fan based. If you're a fan of some of the bigger podcasts, like This Is Night Vale, you know, Welcome to Night Vale. Thank you. See, you can tell how often I listen to it. That's an ongoing serial podcast. Huge fan base. There were a lot of people there. Lots of different sessions to go and meet with either the voice actors or the producers, get signatures, and just, you know, really have a chance to meet the people that you are having a, to be honest, a very intimate experience with when you put them inside your head.
Yeah.
You know, you take the headphones or the earbuds and you put them right in your ears there, and you've got people talking directly to your brain.
Absolutely.
Maybe us.
Yeah, maybe us. Well, I think that's a really good point. That's, and we'll get into kind of the things that we observed and learned from the conference itself. And I think that's one of them, listener, that we really appreciate you taking the time to put us in your head on a weekly or whatever frequency you choose to listen to us. So thank you for doing that. But
yes, thank you. And then I wanted to mention the other track. The other track was for podcast creators, and that's really what we went for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. There, I finished my point. I'm proud of myself.
Well done, with only minimal interruptions.
Good job.
Good job. All right. So, and again, more inside jokes on our podcast. Hey, you know what? When we got there, it was very interesting to me. So Chris outlined a little bit of the makeup of the audience there, which was definitely something that was different and not really what we per se were expecting. The number of cosplay folks that were there surprised me. I knew that there was some chat from those planning to attend of wanting to have some sort of cosplay contingent there, and I was kind of figuring that's going to be like a minority. It's going to be, you know, a handful of people. And, you know, how do you cosplay a podcast? Well, as Chris shared, there are a number of serial podcasts where people would imagine what they think the characters look like and dress that way. And some of them were pretty creative. I don't think any of them were too what I would call outrageous. But it was interesting. I didn't really expect that. So there was that. First impressions. The other first impression I had was about the show floor itself. So those of you who are listening, if you've been to conferences, particularly like IT conferences or any of those kinds of things, you're used to having a large show floor with dozens of booths all set up with vendors who are wanting you to come, and they really want you to buy their stuff. They want to talk to you a lot and make sure that you walk away with their swag in your hand so that you find out and more about them and get connected. That really wasn't the deal here. There was maybe a dozen booths. It wasn't a lot. Yeah.
And when you throw out that one of them was Blue Apron, which really has nothing to do with podcasts unless you're choosing to eat during your podcast. But anyways, I'm sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
Well, again, inside jokes. Blue Apron was plugged a number of times at a number of the panels because apparently they're a big sponsor for a few of the podcasts. So it was a running gag a little bit, and I think that's why they were there.
Yeah.
But that said, what I did think was interesting is there was a few of the streaming services or hosting services there representing their businesses and talking to podcasters about their offerings. But other than that, it was mostly just folks who, how would you explain most of the, I guess, representing different podcasts? And
there were people there representing their own podcast. You've got your t-shirt vendors, you've got the supplemental, you know, you have a podcast, but with a podcast, you're going to need stickers. You're going to need t-shirts. You're going to need swag of some sort. So there were those people there. And you know, Blue Apron,
Bounce asks a great question in the chat, and that's what venue was the conference at? It was at the Washington State Convention Center. Did I get that right?
Yep. Correct. Downtown Seattle. Yep.
Great venue. My goodness, I was really impressed.
It was a huge venue, and it actually seemed a little too big for this. I mean, the rooms were fine once you were in a room, but some of the huge amount of floor space was
a little spread out. You had to really truck and cover some territory to get between sessions. Which
the breakouts were, spread far and wide. It's kind of like high school. Remember when you had 5 minutes to get to your locker and get across campus to the next class? It felt like that in some ways.
There you go.
Yeah.
So and I got shoved in my locker there at PodCon. Oh, wait, no, that was different. Doramore asks, were there fans dressed in Caching in the Northwest wish I was caching shirts? Well, there were Caching in the Northwest shirts there, worn by your three hosts.
Worn by us, yes.
Though.
There were Caching in the Northwest listeners there.
There were Caching in the Northwest listeners. I was shocked to see Medicine Man of Seattle.
Yeah.
Walk by and I was like, oh, I know you. So, but, you know, it was good to see, you know, as you listen to podcasts, you don't always get video. In fact, a video along with a podcast is a rare thing.
Apparently.
So, from what we learned, yeah.
Yeah. So being able to see, you know, as you listen to these people, you get a mental picture of what they should look like. And then you're like, no, that's not who I'm listening to. Is it? It is. That voice goes with that face. I wouldn't have come up with that.
The radio.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just fun. You have these expectations and then you get to see the people and you go, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite interesting to me. As Land Monkey mentioned, I was very, very surprised at the high percentage of cosplay participants that were there. You know, when I think of podcasts, I know it can be a lot of different things, but I often think of podcasts for information, training, education, that kind of thing, because that's, well, primarily what I listen to podcasts for. I don't listen to a lot of entertainment, shall we say, podcasts. I've listened to a few over the years. I've listened to some old time radio show, streams and things like that. Maybe I listen to a couple that are live radio shows that are in another part of the country that I can't hear here. And so they release their episodes as a podcast subscription RSS feed. But there was a lot of people there that were there. You could tell as very dedicated fans of a particular podcast, and they were there to cosplay the roles and to meet the voice talents and get autographs and those kind of things. That, you know, more power to them. But yeah. it was surprising, at least to me.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. One of those podcasts that's a serialized drama kind of thing it is kind of fun is, as Chris mentioned, Welcome to Night Vale. It's a little bit weird, spooky, creepy kind of oddball thing that I had recommended to me several months ago and listened to it over the summer, listened to maybe half a dozen episodes or so. Found that while I entertained and while I was entertained and enjoyed a few of the episodes, it just really wasn't my thing. It didn't catch on. So I haven't listened to too many more episodes, but it happens to be that very podcast where I heard an announcement on the radio for PodCon.
You heard it on the radio, did you?
Well, kind of, sort of.
The internet radio.
It was my car stereo where I was playing the podcast.
Touché. So,
you know, yeah-ish. It was radio-ish. I'm old. That's what old people talk about, these boxes with voices coming out.
Oh, radio. The phonograph?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
The Victrola.
So I came into work and asked Chris, hey, you want to go to a conference about podcasts? He's like, yeah. And, well, Len Monkey even was willing to leave Canada for a short period of time to do it. So that was really cool. And it was exciting to go to conference number one.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes from here.
Definitely. GeoNavPros, I'm sorry, I completely blanked out there. GeoNavPros asked in the chat, how many caching podcasters besides yourselves were there?
And we were the most represented geocaching podcast there.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to go with zero. Now, yeah. I was surprised. There was a couple of times, you know, we sat down, shared a table with some other podcasters, or, you know, had a chat here and there with other podcast creators. And, you know, they asked, well, what's your podcast about? And I said, oh, we do a podcast on geocaching. Oh, okay. Nobody asked, what's geocaching?
No.
So
that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Either they were being polite and had no idea what it was, or geocaching may be a little more popular than we're aware of. So either way, I thought that was interesting.
That was, I agree.
Now, patrons, we have a little extra content just for you. As we were setting up to do some recording, we fooled around a bit, as we are wont to do. You probably wouldn't have noticed that if you're just listening to this podcast, because we are so businesslike and buttoned down and structured.
There you go.
We got a little bit silly just doing a mic check and making sure everything works. We're going to put that up for our patrons because, you know, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, we explained a little bit about what we were seeing at the time and about our day. So I think there's a little bit of extra value content there for our patrons.
Exactly. So, you know, you're going to ask, well, what did you learn? What would you find that was interesting to our listeners at this PodCon? I went to a legal session where they talked about, you know, trademarks and, you know, fair use and all this. I found that actually fascinating. So I'm going to break it here first, folks. It's going to take a while, but I'm going to change the music in Caching in the Northwest because I don't own this music.
I was going to say, how do people feel about that?
Yeah, I know. I love it. I love this music. I've really, but I don't own it. So I'm going to have music in, I think, in very much the same style. But we'll see what happens. I could come across something else that I absolutely love. So I'm letting you know right here, there's going to be some changes in Caching in the Northwest, but only for the better.
Only for the better, absolutely. Chris, I've got a question.
Yes.
What do you think of this idea? If we're going to try out some new music, do we make that new music available for the patrons to hear first and give us their feedback?
Well, I think that should be only fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right.
Dormore says, hopefully it'll be good to dance to.
Could probably bop your head to it at a bus stop.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the prerequisites.
Yeah, exactly. I found out how easy it is to trademark a logo or name. It's really just an electronic form. You know, it's a government process, so 6 to 8 weeks later, you're done.
I would have thought it would be much more involved and have to have lawyers and what have you.
No. In fact, as long as a name is in use, there is an implied trademark.
Hmm.
It's not legally binding, but it's enough to say, hey, you know what? We've been using Caching in the Northwest for 7 years.
Does that mean I could start calling it the Caching in the Northwester podcast?
Yes. Well, it'd have to be TM.
Well, the R means registered
trademark. You're right. Yeah. But there's also a TM. There's an R and a T. I don't understand it all.
Caching in the Northwestum.
Westum.
TM is short for Tim, as in Hortons.
Oh. One of the other things I learned.
Yes.
Landmonkey, you're going to bring this up in a bit. We learned a bit about communities and how to develop and build our communities.
Yeah.
We have a great community. We have a community that other podcasts envy.
You know what? That's true. And
very much.
You listening to us right now, folks, those of you who are live in the chat listening to us right now, and you sitting in your car, sitting at the bus stop, bobbing your head, listening to us, we appreciate that so much. And the feedback we get from you guys, the glows, the audio content that comes in, the live chat, all of this is envied by so many other podcasters that we were at the conference with. So we're just really thankful for you guys and everything you do to help continue that sense of community. What we learned, and Chris, sorry, I'm stealing your thunder a little bit
here.
No, please.
Steal away.
One of the things we learned is how difficult it is to build that community in the first place. So the fact that we have this going here, we're very appreciative of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think what's really important is that our community already existed before the podcast did. There were already a community of geocachers to an extent that existed. And as we know, geocachers are good people. And since they already existed, you know, bringing them together in a podcast, you know, forms a community within a community, but yet I'm just impressed hearing everything and people talking about how to build community. I'm thinking we already have that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. We're very blessed. I learned quite a bit about that and other things. You know, when I go to conferences for me to learn things, I have found that in general, there's more aspects to it, but in general, a lot of things fall into two kind of categories for me learning things. I either go, and I definitely go to learn new things that I can do better, things that new things that I hadn't even thought of before. But I almost always come away with some nugget, some list, some item somewhere that's really kind of a confirmation that, hey, I'm doing okay at that. We're already doing pretty good at that. And I know I share the microphone on Thursday nights with two awesome geocachers and podcasters. And I often think, well, you know, this is just my little corner of my garage here. It's not that big a deal. It's not all that great. You guys are good, but you know, but I really learned this weekend that we're doing a good job here. Yeah, I got places I can improve for sure. But when you talk to people that are really proud of their podcast and they're on episode 4, and they go, oh, well, how many episodes have you done? And we said, oh, we're at 230 something. And they're, oh, really? You've been going 7 years? Yeah. So, yeah, we're doing something right. And like you guys brought up, it comes back to our listeners and our community. That's mm-hmm. It's a great team.
Absolutely. I think one of the other things with that is there was a repeated message in a number of the panels I went to, which was, if you're not having fun doing this,
yeah,
why are you doing this?
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's like barbed wire.
If your podcast feels like crossing barbed wire, you're doing it wrong.
And, you know, we know, I mean, the three of us have talked several, we get along well. I mean, we got together, for PodCon. But we wanted to get together and do geocaching. We wanted to get together and just, you know, see each other and talk. And we discovered that, you know, this friendship really comes across the microphone. It's more than just, hey, we're three guys and, you know, we sit in front of our computers on a Thursday night and talk. We're really friends.
Yeah, believe it or not, those guys have legs.
No pants, but no legs. Pants, but legs. And they're cold tonight. My legs are cold tonight. I just want to let you know that right now.
It's a little chilly out here in the garage, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's chilly tonight. Hey, so we were talking about things that
it's
we learned.
It's snowing where you are, Land Monkey. There are snowflakes behind you.
As big as my head.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're that little comment I just made, if you're listening to me right now and you're in your car or wherever you are and you're wondering why the Land Monkey just laughed about snowflakes as big as his head, it's because I'm projecting snowflakes on the wall behind me. So it's it's way funnier if you're watching this live. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we were talking about things that we learned, and one of the things that I thought was fantastic, I was very excited about going to this session. They had a session on voice coaching where they actually took the entire room and got all of us very interactively engaged in the exercises that they do. So the folks leading this session were two of the voice actors from the Welcome to Night Vale podcast, who are quite experienced and I would say professional voice actors. And they walked us through their routine, and it was really interesting. I learned a lot about preparing your voice for a nightly podcast. Chris, my goodness, I think you've applied some of the tips learned
already,
because you, my friend, every Thursday night do 6 hours of talking?
I don't know. Way too much. It depends. Some nights are longer than others, but you know, I'm at least here in front of the microphone for 4 hours.
Yeah. So right there's all kinds of things. So we learned a lot about not only how to prepare, but how to maintain when you're not actually podcasting or recording voice acting. What do you do the rest of the week to make sure you maintain your voice and keep it in good shape? And how do you tweak things like enunciation, etc.? So it was very interesting. They also had a session on accents, because a lot of the discussion was around the serial fiction podcasting, and you know, there's dramatic acting that goes on, and that was quite fascinating to me and a lot of fun. But that said, leads into the other topic that I wanted to bring up, which was the serial fiction podcasting. We talked about this earlier, and I think everybody's familiar with the old radio dramas from the 30s, etc. And I did not realize that it's really making a comeback in the podcasting world. And as some of the folks in some of the panels were saying, it's kind of the Wild West for serial fiction podcasting right now. There is not any significant major corporate drive or ownership over these. It's a lot of people.
Just Blue Apron. And Blue Apron, if you're listening, we'd love for you to be a podcast sponsor. Please continue.
We won't say no. I'll tell you that much. Anyways, but it was really interesting to me just how much is going on and how diverse some of these are. So we talked earlier about, and a couple of times, about Welcome to Night Vale. Might not be your cup of tea. Maybe it is. So it's certainly worth taking a listen to and checking it out. One that I took a listen to and I'm enjoying it, and I will state right off the start, you have to really enjoy eccentric British humor in order to find this podcast funny. But it's called Wooden Overcoats, and I'll type that into the chat. But the concept being that a wooden overcoat is another name for a coffin.
Okay. I was thinking, is it like it's so similar to cement galoshes?
Yeah, the same, only different.
Okay.
Cement galoshes has a different implication behind it.
Right. That's true.
But Wooden Overcoats is a serialized fiction podcast by British actors, and it's really enjoyable. So I'm not going to spoil any of it. If you go to the website, I think it's woodenovercoats.com or something like that. Anyways,
why? How did you know?
I was throwing it out there. It's definitely, they explain the premise behind the podcast on the website, so you can sort of decide if it's something you want to listen to or not. But I really enjoyed it. I think it's great. It's very quirky. So I'm just going to put the caveat out there. It's not for everybody, but it appealed to me. But all that to say that this whole serial fiction podcasting thing is, it's kind of fun. Some are good. Some aren't my bag. I've listened to a few different ones now, but I did not realize how big it was. And I think that was one of my learnings coming out of the conference, is that there's a lot of green space, let's call it, in that world. And it's quite exciting.
I was shocked on the number of podcasts there are. I know I'm in podcasting. I know there's a podcast for everything. But you know, when they kept saying, well, and this one, and this one, and this one, and I'm like, really? People talk about that? Huh? I was shocked just in the sheer number of podcasts there are. And they're saying, you know, you're not competing against other podcasts. Every podcast listener that comes in doesn't take a piece of the pie. It actually expands the pie, because you're not going to listen to just one podcast. You're going to say, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to go find another.
Yeah. Instead of rising tide lifts all boats or something.
Exactly.
Right?
So
we're competing with radio and television and those kind of distractions. But we're way better than that.
And the Facebooks.
Yeah.
What was that, Chris?
And the Facebooks. Anything that takes your time away. You know, any time suck, be that podcast. I mean, here we are.
Ta-da.
Now, one thing I learned is that when you arrive at a conference an hour early, it's best if you don't leave your warm hat and coat in the car when your co-hosts decide to go caching around downtown Seattle, and it's quite chilly out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I had a little runny nose and cold ears by the time we got back. But regardless, had a great time. It was fun to go wandering around the convention center area downtown Seattle there and find some caches and just basically spend time with some good friends. Definitely.
We had good weather. It was chilly.
It was chilly.
It was not raining.
Yeah.
That's good weather.
Yeah. Cold, clear days are pretty much my favorites.
It was... it was a lot of fun. It was great to get out with you guys. I shouldn't say obviously. It's not obvious, but I haven't done much caching at all in the Seattle area except for immediately around HQ.
Uh-huh.
So to be able to do some caching in the downtown area was great, and to be able to go out and do it with you guys was even better. There's nothing as much fun as going out with your friends, walking around, being silly, and trying to
Oh, shucks.
Discreetly lift the tops off of signposts. And...
Theoretically speaking.
If one were want to do so.
Yes, yes. Look for the world's largest flower pots and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a neat cache. I liked
that. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that. And then Saturday night, we, for various reasons, needed to all go our own way. And so we did that. But I took the opportunity to stay in Seattle a little bit later and got a couple of virtual caches.
Virtuals. New virtuals.
Two of the new virtuals, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Pike Place Market, Bounce Bounce. Nice job. Thank you. I enjoyed finding that one. And Prying Pandora's new virtual over at the Space Needle. So that was fun. And then I picked up a couple traditionals in between. Enjoyed my evening. It was a beautiful evening to go walking around Saturday night, enjoying Seattle. Now, you know, granted, the walk from Pike Place Market to the Space Needle wasn't the most exciting walk. I was geocaching, so that added some fun to it. It would have been better if I was there with my friends, but I still enjoyed it.
Shared some nice shots on Instagram from your evening. I saw at least one there. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Space Needle looks amazing when it's lit up for Christmas like that. I don't know if it has those kind of lights on it year-round, but that was pretty cool.
No. I mean, well, they have a Christmas tree on top. That's obviously very seasonal. But, other lights are special.
So. Right. Greenwoods asks in the chat if I found the cache in the gum wall near the market. I did not. I would have looked for it, but it's disabled right now because most of the gum is missing again off. They've done a cleaning on the gum wall.
Again, they've done a cleaning.
Again?
Yeah, I was checking the logs before I came down. Mm. And Brian Lang says it's on my ignore list. It grosses me out, but I would have, because I have enough intel about the cache itself that I wouldn't have to go sticking my fingers in a bunch of gum.
Yeah.
I would have looked for it.
Agreed. I too have publicly stated that I would never look for that cache again. And yet I recently found myself working in the neighborhood, had an hour off for dinner to kill. And I thought, okay, I'm just right here. I'll go look for it. And couldn't find it. Phoned a friend. Well, Chris of the Northwest was that friend. And he said, well, yeah, let me look, pull up my log. And he couldn't find his log because, well, it was in the disabled listings. And he goes, oh, it's not there right now. So I felt a little better about not finding it on that trip since it wasn't there to find.
There you go. Good job.
So, yeah, I had no idea it was they had cleaned the wall again. I don't know if this is going to be like a quarterly thing now. And maybe the gum wall cache is done.
Who knows?
So that's a shame.
There's maybe far more sanitary caches to find. I'll just say that.
Without a doubt. And it's one of those that only because I want it off my geocaching map. I was like, you know, this is one that you've got to find. So that's my feeling. That's not everybody's feeling.
There you go.
Bounce Bounce mentioned Lime Bike or OFO or... I don't know how many bike sharing.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. Okay.
Interests are in Seattle. There are so many. And, you know, it's really quite a good deal. Now, you go up and you scan a bike with your smartphone with their app, and it unlocks the bike, and you have 30 minutes for $1.
Hmm.
Now,
pretty good.
Washington requires you to wear a helmet on a bike, so you've got to bring your own helmet. But the app will show you where the nearest bike is, and you know you can go scan it. As soon as you scan it, it unlocks it, and you've got 1 hour. I hope at the end of the hour, it just doesn't lock the bike. And thus, you need the helmet.
That's right. That's why the helmet.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. Oh. I've spent really a lot of time up in Seattle recently, and there are just huge, you know, lots of these bikes, you know, near bus stops and, you know, businesses and such. And
I did see them. I saw a few of the racks loaded up with those bikes. And we have a similar thing in Vancouver. So I recognized what it was. I wasn't familiar with the term Lime Bike, but I saw them. I recognized what they were. I didn't know about the whole app thing and unlocking them via scanning them with the app. That is cool. That is really smart.
Is it Kevin MacD says, we have Moby in Vancouver with helmets.
That is true.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. But then again, I don't know if I want to share a helmet. I'm just going to be picky about that. Okay.
All right.
I did a motorcycle training course and the teacher said, we do have loaner helmets if you need one. But in my opinion, borrowing a helmet is like borrowing someone's underwear. So let's take that for what you will.
So explain that to me. So then it's a yes or a no. I'm still not clear.
Wait. You put somebody's underwear on your head?
Only if you're riding a motorbike.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. Kevin says they provide liners.
Oh, good.
Well, that's better. Yeah.
Advice provided on this podcast about head safety.
So, you know, that's a great idea.
Yes, absolutely is.
And, you know, us three getting together and doing geocaching, well, that in and of itself is a story.
But, that was fun.
Yeah, we had fun.
We need to do that more often.
We really do.
We will.
I want to share something. And I'm not one to share my private life that much, but this is starting to impact the podcast. And many people have commented, hey, I don't see the podcast on the website anymore. I simply have not had time. In the last couple of months, my mother has been diagnosed with leukemia. That's cancer of the blood. And we are spending, you know, well, for instance, 18 out of the last 20 days, she's needed to go up to Seattle for various treatments in relation to this. So that's taken all my time. So, folks, the podcast is still a concern. But as we've always said here on this podcast, family first.
Yeah.
So PodCon was really quite an interesting time. I've got family coming in to help me. So I've got, you know, brothers and sisters coming in to carry the load and to, you know, just come alongside. It gave me a weekend to go and be with my friends. And that was very refreshing and it rejuvenated me. And it, you know, provided me with energy to put into the podcast. And the podcast is going to change a little bit, but only for the better. We're going to reassign tasks. We're going to move things around. We're going to try to streamline here and there. And I think you're going to end up with a better Caching in the Northwest podcast. So,
I really think so. Chris, first of all, as you already know from Jim and myself, that we're praying for you and we're thinking about you and your family and particularly, of course, your mom. And I really appreciate you sharing with our community what's going on right now. And so I'd like to think I speak on behalf of our community when we say that everyone's thoughts and prayers are with you and your family and your mom.
Thank you.
As you guys go through this. And of course, as co-hosts and co-producers of the podcast, we're here to help support that and help provide for our listeners and our community so that you guys out there can continue to have fun and listen to us as we have fun getting together. So we are going to change a few things, but we're only going to change things if it's a change for the better. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to charge you 35 cents and
whatever else.
2.9% and 35 cents. But you know, as we change things, if something is coming that we think is maybe a larger change, we're gonna field test that. We're gonna run that with the patrons first, so you guys will hear about it. So keep an eye on the Patreon site. But that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And as Lime Monkey said, yes, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your mom. And we hope that all comes out great. And by the way, congratulations on finding a lot more geocaches around the cancer treatment centers of the greater Seattle area.
There was only one. That was that puzzle cache I've been working on for a couple of weeks. Yeah, there's not a lot right around there.
Well, so there's a tip. If you're looking for a place to hide a cache, perhaps consider it hiding them near treatment centers when a lot of times people have to spend long periods of time and need a short diversion from something.
You know, I've walked past places going, that's a little park. That needs a cache. Oh, I'm not going to put one here. I can't maintain this.
You know, I used to have a cache in Vancouver when I worked at the hospital in Vancouver. I had one that was near the Women's and Children's Hospital. And every once in a while, I would get logs on it from people who were out, either because they were staying at the hospital and they're getting a little bit of time out and getting some exercise, and it was an opportunity for them to find a geocache, or people who were visiting family at the hospital. And again, there's an opportunity to get out, find a geocache so they can just get their mind engaged in something else. They can get some fresh air. I always think it's a great idea.
Definitely. So I don't want to bring anybody down. I just want to let you know that's why you haven't seen anything on the website for a while. We are working on it. We really are.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll continue to work on that. Hey, Witsand, there was something that you had as a note when we were talking about our thoughts and observations out of your brain dump from PodCon that I thought was kind of funny. I think it was your first bullet point. I was wondering if you wanted to share that.
Oh, you know, I've spent part of my career in the past working construction. I've worked in various climates. I've had a lot of experience. And so I can't say that this shocked me necessarily. And I certainly didn't hear anything that I hadn't heard before. But I was a little surprised. To quote my bullet point verbatim, it said, podcasters have potty mouths. I was really kind of surprised at the amount of foul language from the stage and a major, well, I consider it a major conference. So there were, what would you say, a couple thousand people in the keynote arena. It was a fairly big room. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't consider it professional or even, you know, I don't know, mature to use such profane language, especially as frequently as they did. I know it seems to be our culture and it's pervasive throughout movies and whatnot, but I can say that you won't hear it here on Caching in the Northwest, that's for sure. And I was just a little bit surprised at the number of people that apparently it's the colorful phrase is a normal part of their vocabulary. And yeah.
That's true. I get a warning before every podcast from these guys that said, hey, monkey, own it down. Okay, relax. Okay.
If you have poo, fling it now.
But yeah, it was a little surprising to me. And I think going into a conference, I think perhaps part of it as well is that the three of us are used to going to technology conferences where it's a different type of presenter. So
I would say it's a more professional environment, though, you know, these are professional podcasters. These are professional communicators.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. Yeah. It surprised me as well. He says no flinging poo. All right.
Okay.
I will try not. But it surprised me how much of that was going.
Yeah.
It just, you know, the shock value was pretty low.
Yeah.
It is what it is, I suppose. We just have a different podcast.
Sure. I mean, I occasionally slip in the vocabulary, you know, in time to time in the world, in the life. Things happen, but it was very pervasive.
You said poo. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some that, you know, it seemed like every third word was a curse word. And I'm like, you know, you're a professional communicator. There's a lot of words in the English language. Choose another.
To me, it's always been a sign of a low vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's more fun to be creative when you're insulting people.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially if they don't understand what it means.
Allow me to explain to you what I just called you. All right.
Anyways, if you have to explain it, it's much more fun for you.
Oh, I think that pretty much wraps up our feedback and our thoughts around PodCon. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add before we maybe touch on what's coming up next?
Well, I think that was it. I mean, we really did have a good weekend, learned several things, and you know, as I said before, we're gonna apply those to the podcast and tighten it up just a little bit.
Overall, it was a great conference, and I'm glad we went.
Yes.
Now, we are looking at some upcoming shows. Next week, that's going to be December 21st, or show 230. It's not at 230. It's going to be at 9 o'clock like it always is.
Okay.
Top cash tips for Vancouver, BC.
I've been there.
Well, and now you're going to know what to do next time you go.
Okay.
And get those great cashing tips for Vancouver.
Because I will go again.
Oh.
At least I hope to.
Yeah.
I hope you do.
If they let me in.
Well,
that's a whole nother conversation.
If Border Patrol's listening, I don't know this gentleman. I've never met him before. And I don't know how he got in my car.
That's okay. As Land Monkey and I cruise through the Nexus lane, we'll wave at you.
Yeah, I know. That's coming. Don't worry. I'm going to get that one day. December 28th, we are going to do some caching in the Northwest Christmas fun. Awesome. You're not going to want to miss that. We're not going to tell you what it is ahead of time because, well, we think it's more exciting just to pop it out on you. No, wait, that didn't come out right.
I thought we weren't going to have that kind of conversation.
Wow, you guys went to the wrong place right there.
We like caching. We like Christmas. We like fun. Let's put it all together on the 28th.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you for bringing us back.
Now I'm embarrassed.
And that will bring 2017 to a close for our podcast. But we're not done.
No.
We will be right back here on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific in 2018. Whether you want us to or not. January 4th, that'll be the first Thursday of the new year. Show 232. New year, new ideas. 2018 at Geocaching Headquarters. We're going to have our guest, Rock Chalk. Rock Chalk's been on the podcast before. We always enjoy having him come back. He's always got some interesting stories and tips to share with us. And this one will be, well, the best show of the new year, I'm sure, at that point.
There you go.
Week later, it's January 11th. That's 111.
It is.
It's always a good date. Show number 233. And for that show, well, let me tell you, we've got something special planned. Yes, we do. You don't want to miss that episode. It's going to be, well, you'll just have to tune in and find out. Not going to tell you right now, because that's like next year. That's so next year.
That is so next year.
Awesome. Well,
it's going to be good.
Once again, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters, and that is Team Squirrel and worldcaching.com. And folks, reminder, if you want to know more about supporting the show and just paying what you say you're going to pay, click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Again, all of you supporters on Patreon, we appreciate every single one of you. And that would be Subway Mark, Cachemaniacs, Doramore, Doom Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, AckerDoc, OBXGee, Camp Clan, B Pen Dragon, Billy Robson, and Tick Magnet.
Yay!
Thank you very much,
folks. Oh, we appreciate all the patrons. Thank you so much for your support. And perhaps one of those patrons, or perhaps one of our listeners that's not yet a patron, would like to contact one of us gentle cashier-type folks. Land Monkey, where would somebody contact you between now and next week?
Well, between now and next week, I always, and any time, really, I encourage people to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes Periscope. Just search for @LandMonkeyGC. That's the easiest way to follow us. Of course, you can always check us on YouTube, Land Monkey. That's all you have to search for on YouTube, LANMONKEY. And we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of videos of geocaching adventures up there. My friend Wits End, where do people find you?
Well, Wits End is my handle on most social media platforms. Typically, you'll find me on either Twitter or Facebook's. I confess I'm not the most prompt in my replies, but I see all of your comments, and I appreciate all of them. So shoot me a message, Twitter, Facebook, geocaching.com, or one of those platforms. Chris of the Northwest.
You know, you can look for me on Twitter at CachingNW, Facebook.com/CachingNW. You can go to YouTube.com/CachingNW. Find me there. If you're looking on geocaching.com, that's Chris of the Northwest. But what we would really like is if you head on over to CachingNW.com/hosts and read our bios and find all those links that we just mentioned. And, you know, the secret ones, which we never talk about here. We just make you go to the website. But most of all, we want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or send us your Christmas fruitcake any time of the day or night. We do like fruitcake. Of course, your email, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. And your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, you can click on the Patreon link and know that what you're giving is really what you're giving on the CachingNW.com website. The show's produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jason Kennedy, hosted by Chris, Jason, and Jim Paulwitz. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And as always, we stay tuned for
the after show.
That's now.
That's okay.
So you're
right at the after show.
Now, folks, wait for anything more. We want to take just a moment. Maybe you've been listening to us for a little bit and you don't understand how this after show thing works. That's okay. You know what? We all learn from time to time. We want to keep the main show short, tight, right in that 30-minute window for those commuters. If you want to continue listening, feel free. We're going to chat. We're going to talk a little more unscripted. We've got a couple of news stories to cover. But this is a time for us to interact with our live listeners.
Absolutely.
If you're busy and don't have time to listen, we completely understand. We want to offer this to you as an add-on, absolutely free of charge.
There you go. So it's not just for patrons. It's for everyone.
It's for everyone.
All right. Well, you know what else is for everyone?
DHL.
Yeah, I was just throw out ideas. No, one of the other things that's for everyone is contests. And we want to talk about a couple of contest updates here. So first of all, I'm going to let you guys know that us land monkeys here, we still have a contest going. So that is the Magic the Gathering Rivals of Ixalan contest. So if you want to win one of those Rivals of Ixalan trackables, follow, like, retweet any Land Monkey GC posts that contain the words geocaching and magic, and you will be entered to win some of those cool Magic the Gathering trackables that HQ sent me to give away to all of you amazing people. So if you've not won one of those, if you tried to apply and you won, or if you tried somebody else's contest and you didn't win, well, you know what? You might still be a winner yet. So not too late to get in on my contest. All you need to do is like and retweet or repost a Land Monkey Twitter or Facebook posting. And here's the deal. Next week, Monday through Friday, I am going to be announcing a winner every day of the week, every day of the work week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading up to Christmas, there's going to be a winner every day. So it's not too late. Well, until, you know, the end of the day on Friday, 22nd.
Then, oh, yeah.
Then it's too late.
Yeah.
So don't delay. You have like a chance to do a little extra Christmas shopping right now. You could win this and give this to a geocaching friend for Christmas.
There you go.
Well, let's just say I don't know how long it's going to take for the Postal Service to get that trackable to you, so I accept no responsibility for that part.
So you could send them a picture.
You could tell them there's one coming for you.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. So Rivals of Ixalan. I thought all this time it was from Ypsilanti. And I didn't think there was anything that magical in Michigan.
So, that was a good one.
What else have we got going on contest-wise?
You know, we will announce the winners for the Wish I Was Cashing winners and prizes next week. You know, if Land Monkey can get his paperwork in order, is what I hear. if your name's read out loud, make sure you send us an email at feedback@cashingnw.com and make sure that we have your mailing address.
Right. So we have determined the winners. We're not going to let you know quite yet because we're just finalizing the prizes, but we will announce all of that next week at the end of the podcast in the FATAS. So yeah, stay tuned for that after next week's episode. Some more info that I want to share. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet today that for those of us who are up here in this, you know, greater Vancouver neck of the woods, this is useful information. The Gross Grind, which had been closed until very recently, has been temporarily reopened due to the mild weather we've experienced lately. That decision will be reassessed Friday and likely on a daily basis after that. As we are going into a rainy bit for the weekend, but then the weather's going to be another cold snap leading into Christmas up here from what I can see of the weather report.
The Grouse Grind, that's a local coffee shop?
It could be, but the Grouse Grind I'm talking about is a uphill hike on Grouse Mountain. So
okay,
a very popular one. And there are geocaches on it. So if you were thinking of doing the Gross Grind, if you had promised somebody, oh, I was going to do the Gross Grind, but it's closed now, I guess I'll just have to wait till next year.
Yep.
You are now screwed.
That's right. You forgot. Don't get that excuse anymore.
So there's that. Nice. And we already told you about the Patreon changes. Patrons will not be paying a processing fee of 2.9% and 35 cents.
Yeah.
So while we are so thankful for everybody, every one of you who's listening to us right now, who supports us, and those of you who maybe you're not supporting us right now, but you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Making the end customer pay those fees and extra charges is just, it's wrong. It's so wrong. It's right up there with like Ticketmaster and airlines, and nobody likes them.
Nope.
Comment in the chat is that the Grouse Grind is a very, very uphill hike.
It is.
In both directions.
Chris, do you remember when you came with us to Bowen Island?
Where you tried to kill me so you could take over the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
That was very uphill. There was one spot I'm looking going, are you kidding? That's a lot of uphill.
And there's probably a monkey on your back.
No, there was a monkey in front of me throwing poo.
Throwing poo.
Saying, come on, you can do this. I'm like, yes, I can. I can. I don't want to, but I can.
did you have to climb through any barbed wire?
I don't recall any barbed wire.
So we must have went the right way. There was times we absolutely determined we did not go the right way. Once we found the cache, we're like, oh, that wasn't the right way. no, that was a great weekend. You know, getting old is no fun. I'm just going to tell you that. Okay. So some people may enjoy getting old. Getting old for me hasn't been the most fun. I don't know what I did. A couple of weeks before that hike, I did something and hurt my knee. Now, it wasn't, I was out playing basketball and I go, oh, my knee. I woke up one morning and I go, my knee hurts. And it continually got worse and, you know, then started to get better. So you know you're old when you can hurt yourself by sleeping, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So my knee was actually, I thought was doing pretty good, went on that hike and it was like, oh, no, my knee is not where it should be. And, you know, just going throughout the day, it was like, okay, you know, there's one hill there. I'm not doing it. I know better. I want to be able to walk in the future.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it was fun having you come out with us.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope I wasn't a downer on the day there at the end, but it was a lot of fun.
Not just at the end, no. Oh, sorry. Was that out loud?
Oh, funny,
okay,
guys.
We're done. Thank you very much. Have a nice show.
Hey, you know, another fitas, we mentioned some of the episodes coming up, and the next episode we're going to have is going to be highlighting some key caches to find if you're visiting the Vancouver, BC area. And just to let you guys know, that's going to be the start of a recurring segment, or not recurring segment, a recurring topic that we're going to do throughout the next year or two. Every once in a while, we're going to pick a different city or location, and we're going to give you guys some top tips on caches to find in that area and things to know when you're going looking for them. So you guys have been awesome in the chat, in the live chat, and you've already jumped in. And, you know, if you're listening to us, if I'm in your head right now, I'm sorry. Secondly, if you've got caches in the Vancouver area or in any area, whatever area you're in, that you say, you know what, this is a must-find cache, feel free to send it to us. Share it with us. So you never know, your city might be one of the next ones we're talking about, and we'll make sure we add in your recommendations, and we'll make sure we give credit to the people who are giving us great tips. So we've already got in the hashtag FITAS here, you know, the question, did we want suggestions? Absolutely, we do. And we've got, what do we got? GC1ED, BC's oldest cache. Mm-hmm. We've got Chopsticks Not Included. That's GC5KBZ5. Both of those excellent caches to find when you're visiting. And I have a list already started that I'm going to be throwing in with those, but those are two great suggestions.
Now, I have to ask, and I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. One of my favorite up that way is the Chicken Channel, but you wouldn't consider that in Vancouver, would you?
Yeah, it is. It's in Vancouver.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
Greater Vancouver area.
Great. Okay.
No, it's actually in the city of Vancouver.
Is it the city limits? Okay, good.
Okay. Part. Nice. Right. I was just curious.
It's a fun one.
Mm-hmm. It is. We've got lots more coming in here in the chat. Well, you guys are awesome. We love you guys.
You guys are making our work easy for us.
Yeah, thank you. That's what community is all about, right?
Exactly.
Right on.
Exactly.
Bounce asked a question, and the question is caching in the Northwest planning on hosting any events this coming year?
Well, the answer is I don't know. I'm going to host an event on the 1st as a birthday party for a well-known local cacher. It's coming out here. I'm not going to spoil it. Okay. But that's not going to be an official caching in the Northwest event. But, you know, I've thought about this, and really, we get asked from time to time, are there any live shows? Is there anywhere where we can go and see you guys do a show? And I'm not going to invite you into my basement.
Oh, that's what my suggestion was going to be, just show up at Chris's door.
Yeah. You know what? I am facing the garage door here. We can just open it up and I'll wave at you. But that's awkward. Trust me.
Especially Mrs. of the Northwest.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She's in bed already, so be quiet when you come to the garage door. But, you know, this is something that we've thought about. Now, our time frame of doing a podcast is 9 to 10. So that means if we're going to do it, we're either going to have to do it indoors or, you know, outdoors in the summer where at 10 o'clock it's still light outside. So...
Well, if the three of us would travel to Hawaii, we could do it at 6 p.m. there.
Okay.
There you go. Well, yeah, we're going to continue talking about this idea because obviously we have our regular scheduled 9 p.m. live shows. Doesn't mean we couldn't do an extra show.
Yeah,
right.
Special show at some point in time, particularly if the three of us happen to be in the same town at the same time one day and we plan, you know, 2 weeks or so ahead.
Mm-hmm. It could happen.
Or, you know, we do a live streaming show from somewhere. So we're playing with the idea, I guess, is the answer.
So that would be a more official caching in the Northwest. Now, we can't do a geocaching event in order to do a podcast. Geocaching.com says no.
According to the rules, yeah.
Right. So, and because we have a reviewer that listens, no, we're not going to do that. But we can hold an event and have a podcast afterwards.
Yes.
So there are a lot of different options. And just some chances for Caching in the Northwest listeners to get together, that community, which we brag about to other podcasters, we want them to get together. So yes, Caching in the Northwest is going to have some events coming up in the new year. When and where? Well, we'll see.
I was going to say, I can tell you that we did discuss the topic this weekend when we were all together. So I'm fairly confident that something will come out of that, and we will host something this coming next year. We just don't have any details to announce at this time.
There you go.
Very well,
well, thanks,
said.
Guys.
Thank
that
you.
Was that was a very good answer to Bounce Bounce's question. All right.
GeoNav Pros wants to know if we're going to do a live podcast from the Summer Games.
It depends if there's a Summer Games. So,
we have to have a Summer Games. I'm just saying. Yeah.
That would be a requirement, yeah.
Yeah. No pressure.
Well, hold on a second. So is that some sort of level of commitment that if there is a Summer Games, the podcast will be there? Because I think we should be careful what we promise here.
You're right. I would love to say yes. Do you see Dora Moore? La, 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 la. I can't hear you.
I can say that barring a work conflict, because my job requires me to work a lot of weekends, so, and I don't know
exactly
too far in advance, but barring a work conflict, yes, if there was a Summer Games, I would be there.
Or family obligations or pre-planned vacation. There's so much going on. We would, if we're available, yes, we will be there.
There you go.
How's that?
There you go. I think that's fair. I think that's a very that's, fair approach.
And really, that's all anybody can promise. You know,
especially at this point in time with no dates and
Yeah, exactly. So
Cool. All right. Well, I'm looking at the time. It's
I know.
Quarter after 10.
And we tightened up the podcast a little bit, and we're still long.
Well, I think what we've done is we've moved a lot more content into hashtag FITAS here. Mm-hmm. So, which is great. I think that was the intention, is to increase the quality of the content in the after show, as well as tighten up the main show a little bit for you guys. So hopefully we were able to complete that goal.
So folks, we appreciate each and every one of you. And as I say every week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.